In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, the Sunday after Pentecost, the Sunday of All Saints. So it is appropriate that we would read a reading about what it is to be a saint. This is what this gospel is about, the character of the saints. Of course, there are many gospels that describe holiness. This one, the best of all. Now, the question that you should have for yourself is, do you fit in the category of people that the Lord is describing who are saints? In order to be a saint, the word really means holy. In order to be holy, we are called to be holy. In fact, we are commanded to be holy. If we don't become holy, we have no part with Christ. Christ came to help us to become holy. He gave us the ability, but we must have the desire and the effort. So yes, we are not only called, but commanded to be holy. So to be a saint is to be holy. We must, as the Lord says, confess Him. He says something that is both great and terrible. He says, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." But then he says, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." So one must understand what it means to confess. To confess in the Lord is to live as he taught us, is to have the priorities he taught us to have. So confession involves living the right way, living as Christians. One cannot confess in the Lord and be a thief. One cannot confess in the Lord and cheat people or be an adulterer. And also confession in the Lord is something that is difficult in our day and becoming more difficult. And that is, we must confess with the lips also. We must stand for what is right as Christians. And I've been trying to talk about this a little bit more on the blog entries. This is very important. Our age is one in which good is called bad and bad good. Abominations are called healthy. And to believe that there are abominations is called hateful, close-minded, backward. It's happening. I hope you see it. Now, I have so far, to my knowledge, never in a sermon been political. I don't want to talk about parties or governments or particular people. I want to talk about the age we are in. Look at the age we are in. When things that are sinful are called good, and those who call them sinful are ostracized and even put in prison. Open your eyes. I hope you see it. It is happening. Even the words that I'm saying now could be taken to be hate speech and inciting to violence. Now, you all know me. I'm not inciting anyone to violence, except the kind of violence that wins the kingdom of God, that is violence against our sins. But eventually it will happen that this kind of speech will be outlawed. It's happened in other societies before, and it's happening before our very eyes. Now, it's important not only to know theology, it's also important to know reality of what's going on right in front of you. As a pastor, for quite some time now, many, many years, not at the very beginning, because that was 15 years ago, things were not as insane as they are now. The mechanism was not in place to cause people to be subjugated to people's immoral will. But it's now in place. A few changes, a few little tweaks, and it will take great courage to be a Christian. Are you ready? Are you ready to say there is sin? Are you ready to say what is good and what is bad? Just see if I'm a prophet or not. In 5 years, 10, 3, 2, it will come to be that if you want to work at Acme Ball Bearing Company, you will have to sign a statement of faith which says that you believe things that Christians do not believe. It's going to happen. Are you ready to confess in the Lord? You know, it's really good to talk about beautiful theology, to talk about the resurrection, to talk about the ascension, to talk about God's love for us. But God's love for us is realized in us when we live as He lived. And if you look at the way our Lord lived, He was the one who never had a place to lay His head, and eventually He was crucified. But He was tormented all of His career. This is that side of Christianity that most people who call themselves Christians don't want to see. But I, as your pastor, want you to see it. If you want to be a saint, you must confess. You must stand up for the truth. I'll give you one example. There was a time when I was in a company and they required us to fill out a piece of paper and give something to United Way. I looked at the things United Way did. A lot of them were things that I would not have any part with whatsoever. Some of them were good. Many of them were good. But the money just went into the pot. So some could go to abortion, some could go to family planning programs in China, some could go to this, some could go to that. And so we were required to sign a paper. I didn't do it. Now, in that day and age, I wasn't fired. But I think it would happen that I would be fired now. Are you ready? Are you ready to confess in the Lord? All right, I'll tell you how to become ready. The Lord tells us right here. Right after He says, whoever shall confess Me, I will confess in him before My Father. And then the opposite, if you don't confess in Me, I won't confess in you before My Father. He tells us how to live so that we can be that way. You know, there's lives of the saints, just recently, just a couple days ago, where a magician recognized that about Jesus Christ and immediately confessed Him, and his head was cut off right there. That's usually not the way it happens, brothers and sisters. Confession usually is a long process with suffering, with testing of your mettle, with seeing whether or not you're courageous. I think there are those of us who would be willing to confess and have our heads severed, but are we willing to have our houses taken away from us? Have our jobs taken away? Work in menial labor? It's happened before. It happened in Soviet Russia in our lifetime. It's happening now. And it will happen here. So what do? Here's what the Lord tells us. He says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after Me is not worthy of Me. Then He says, when Peter asked Him a question, behold, we've forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have? And He promises Peter and the other apostles to be able to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But then He says something that's very comprehensive, and this is the key to whether or not you will be ready to confess when it really is time. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. And He adds something that's also important. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now that can mean many things. But one of the meanings is this. Things are not as they seem. Don't believe what the world tells you. Believe what God tells you. And this list of things that were forsaken, not that we should run away from our parents, but these are symbols of things that we want that might get in the way of who God is. And if anything gets in the way of God, we must forsake it. It's about priority. As a pastor, I've seen when people are beset by sins, if they have good priorities, they conquer these sins. I don't care what it is. If you have good priorities, if you desire to live a Christian life, if you try to pray, I'm not even talking if you succeed or not, if you want to pray, if you try to order your life to pray, if you try to fast, if you try to be a Christian, if that is what's important to you from the day, moment you get up to the moment you put your head on the pillow, then you will conquer your sins. God will help you. And I've seen it time and time again. But people who are beset by sins and they stay in the same sins, it is a priority problem. There is something they are not forsaking. Oh, I'm not talking about the sin. Because sin can be very sweet. It's a sweet poison, isn't it? And we can desire something that is very bad for us and be habitually falling into it. That's not the priority I'm talking about. That's a weakness of the flesh that God came to help us with. But He cannot, He will not help us with these weaknesses of the flesh unless we have a mindset that we want to take up our cross and follow Him no matter what. Now maybe you're not ready to confess in the Lord in such a way that you'd lose your job. You better get ready. You have time right now. The Lord will not expect of you what you cannot do. But He will expect of you what you can become able to do. So if you sit still and have priorities that are basically day to day, do this, do that, then when the time comes, you will not be ready. It's all about ordering your life in a certain way. This is what this gospel is teaching us. Forsake the things that you can forsake. Perhaps there is a sin you cannot quite forsake yet. I understand. I've seen a lot of them. I have them myself. But you can order your life as a Christian. There's a lot of things that you can do to order your priorities. Let us say, let's just give a small example. Perhaps it's a trivial example. Let's say that you are beset by laziness. You come home and you watch 6 hours of TV and then fall asleep, not saying your prayers, not reading anything, not doing anything except dissipating yourself. And it happens time and time and time again. All right, here's what you can do. Well, you can get a brick. If you cannot take that brick and put it where it should be put, then you can unsubscribe from cable so that it's a lot harder to see. Or you can make a rule of yourself, I will never ever copy a TV show on my recorder. You see, you can show something of a priority to the Lord that you want to fight against a sin. That's just one thing. There's many things. You must forsake things that are not godly to become godly. This is the way. You know, really, this time of life right now, that is, the life really in the flesh, is kind of like, I don't know if this kind of is a silly way or crude way to put it, it's like a boot camp. You're preparing yourself. And now it's even more important because there really will be battles. There have been in the past. What makes us think that there won't be any coming up? Really, what has happened in North America has been an anomaly. How many years of peace to be able to do what we wanted to do? We have people here, Russian, Greek, in the last 100 years, There were people they might have known, their families, that died because of righteousness, because the government tried to impose upon them things that they would not allow because of their conscience. They had to make confession. Just in our lifetimes, perhaps across the pond. But it's getting to be a small pond now. It's going to happen here. I, as your pastor, want you to be ready. Now, that doesn't mean that I want you to stock up on water and buy a shotgun and go off into the woods and be ready for the end. No. I want you to change yourself now and tomorrow and the next day so that you are ready. This is how you are ready, how you become ready. The gospel tells us, forsake the things that are not godly. Have the right priorities. Be willing to take up your cross. Don't think of Christianity as something easy. If you think Christianity is easy, then you have not learned what Christianity is. Christianity is warfare to the death. Christianity is violence that wins the kingdom of heaven. Violence against our passions. Violence against the things that kill us. So take courage. Don't be afraid. Unless you do nothing. Unless you just live complacently. Then, well, the complacent are not afraid until it's too late. God will help you. If you pray, if you fast, if you struggle, if you forsake the world, and you take up your cross. And one more thing. Maybe you can't do all of it. Okay? Do some of it. There's a big mistake in our age. It's like if we can't do it all, we don't do any of it. We're full of sins. Does that mean we shouldn't be righteous too? Absolutely not. If you don't fast well, perhaps you could fast a little better. If you don't pray very much, perhaps you could pray a little more. If your life is spent in fruitless pursuits, perhaps you could find some way to do something that is good for your soul. Speak with me. Speak with someone else. Find a way. Because the time is coming when you will need to confess with your lips that you are a Christian. And I want you to be ready for it.